Last year, when I gave, not allowed to give a hesped, obviously, on Pesach, but I think it's appropriate to come together to discuss some of the Chiddushei Torah of my uncle, and even to make comments about the regarding the Chiddushei Torah. I was never one who just repeated everything without changing something here or there. And that wasn't my uncle's derech either. My uncle's derech was that every time he gave a shir on a certain sugya, he started it over like it was something completely new. So, and, you know, lots of people are publishing Torah of my uncle. The one thing that they're not able to do is to produce that the derech that he had and apply in using that derech to come up with other original approaches. That's one of the big losses. Now, last year when we came together, and after the discussion of the Dvar Halacha, which this year, like last year, was about Sfiras Omer, there'd be a different inyan in Sfiras Omer. I would like for a few minutes to talk, not a hesped again, but the 20th Yahrzeit is a time that it's worthwhile looking back over those 20 years and seeing the impact that my uncle had. Now, the Tosfos in Megillah, first he discusses a machlokes, the Bahag and Rabbeinu Tam. If somebody forgot to count Sfira at night, whether he can count Sfira in the day. I think I discussed that last year. But then Tosfos says, Va'achar shebireich al hasfira omer yehi ratzon sheyabana. So after a person was mevarech al hasfira, so he says yehi ratzon sheyabana beis hamikdash b'mehir v'yameinu mashein kein b'tkiyas shofar v'lulav, as contrasted with shofar and lulav, that we don't say the hiratzon sheyabana beis hamikdash from Hervi Yameinu. Okay, lulav is very understandable because lulav, the other days other than the first day, it's zeichel hamikdash, because midiraisa, the mitzvah of lulav was only when a person was in Yerushalayim or in the Beis HaMikdash, discussion Rashi and the Rambam, B'smachtim l'fnei Hashem shivas yamim. So today it's the Rabbanan. It's a rabbinic mitzvah, Zeichel HaMikdash. Where is Shofar? What does Shofar have to do with Beis HaMikdash? My uncle discusses that in the Chiddushim on Rosh Hashanah. He mentions the Ravid Shita, that the Ravid says on the Hasagas on the Rif, the Ravid says that the main mitzvah of Shofar is in the Beis HaMikdash, because the mitzvah of Shofar is mentioned next to Korbanos. But there is a mitzvah, it's not the main mitzvah, there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to hear shofar everywhere else. So Tosfos says that even though there is there's a special mitzvah of shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, And even though the mitzvah, the araisa of lulav, is the all the days of Sukkot is only by the Beis HaMikdash, and the fact that we take a lulav today, that's only the Rabbanan, but we don't say Yehi Ratzon. In other words, when we count Sfira, so we say Yehi Ratzon Shiyabana Beis HaMikdash. But when we take the lulav and we blow the shofar, we don't say Yehi Ratzon. He says, why? Mashen came to hear shofar lulav. Ahainu taima lefi she'ein ella haskara ata lebinyan Beis HaMikdash. He says, because the shofar, the mitzvah of a sfira, is only a haskara in regard to the Beis HaMikdash. Aval l'shofar v'lulav yesh asiyah. But shofar and lulav have an action. Now, the question is, what is Tosfos? Tosfos distinguishes. Tosfos says that when it comes to Sfiras Omer, when it comes to the mitzvah of counting the Omer, so afterwards we have to say Yehi Ratzon Shiyabana Beis HaMikdash. We don't say that. We say Harachman Hu Yachzir HaSafodas Beis HaMikdash L'Mekomo. I mean, this just as a parenthetical comment, but it's possible a person could suggest that whether we say Yehi Ratzon or we say Harachaman is dependent upon the question as to whether Kedushas Yerushalayim is Kitchel Ashaita V'Kitchel Asad Lavo or it's not. In other words, if you say that Kedusha of Yerushalayim is a permanent Kedusha, that means even when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, makriv in afal pishein bias. So technically you don't need the structure of the Beis HaMikdash to give the karbanos. So in order to give the karbanos, it has to be in the right place. So we could say, we paskin like the Rambam, that makriven afal pishein bayis. So technically, in theory, you could give the karban even today. A matter of fact, Reb Chaim held that those who say that Sfiras Omer is the araisa, they hold makriven afal pishein bayis. So in other words, the chiyuv to give the karban Omer is applicable today. But even if we don't accept Reb Chaim, in other words, you have to actually give the carbon, but you don't need the Beis HaMikdash to actually give the carbon. So you can say, Harachman hu yachzir sabodas Beis HaMikdash l'mekomo. So we need the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash in its proper place. Mashen kein, Tosfos who held that you say Yehi Ratzon Shiyabana Beis HaMikdash, in other words, only if the Beis HaMikdash itself is built will there be a chiyuv of Sfiras Omer Mediraisa. So Mela, you have to say the Yehi Ratzon. Okay, that's but in any case, by Sfiras Omer, Tosfos says that we have to say Yehi Ratzon Shiyabana Beis HaMikdash after we say it. Why? Because Sfiras Omer isn't a mice, it's not an action. But Shofar and Lulav, even though it's also Zeicha L'Mikdash, there's some relationship with the Beis HaMikdash. As I explained, Lulav Midiraisa is only Chayev, you're only Chayev at the Beis HaMikdash. Still, you don't have to say Yehi Ratzon because there's a Maisa. So, what's the idea behind this comment in Tosfos? Now, when I look through the different Talmidim of my uncle, right over the shiurim in many, many different ways. So there are certain differences. It conceivably could be due to the fact that my uncle, different times, said it differently. And it could be different. It could be due to the fact that each Talmud heard it differently. But so there are two explanations that are offered. It's really offered in regard to the Baal HaMor. And the Baal HaMor, at the end of Psachim, asks the question. The Baal HaMor, at the end of Psachim, asks the question, why don't we make a Shehechiyanu on the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer? So the Baal HaMor gives two terutzim. One is, it's just a Zecher B'Alma. And then he says, because it's not a mitzvah that arouses joy, on the contrary, it arouses sadness, because we are reminded of the fact that there is no Beis HaMikdash. So therefore we don't make Shehechiyanu. So everybody asks the question, Lulav. Now it's true, the first day is Midyaraisa under all circumstances. But let's say someone didn't take the lulav the first day. Huh? First day's in Shabbos, let's say. So you make Shehechiyanu on the other days also. And lulav is related to the Beis HaMikdash. So how is it that we make Shehechiyanu? So there are two terutzim that my uncle suggested. One terutz, and actually this is the terutz that everybody mentions as the second terutz. The reason I'm mentioning it as the first terutz is because when I looked at the Chiddushei HaGriz on Menachos, also, different Talmidim might have heard differently. Because I think whoever wrote it missed the main point, but I think the teretz that my uncle suggested, this teretz is the teretz also that the Brisker Rav, the pshat that the Brisker Rav understood in the Baal HaMor as well as in Tosfos and Megillah. There is two mitzvahs of Zecher LeMikdash, two types of Zecher LeMikdash. There's one Zecher LeMikdash to remember the Beis HaMikdash b'Churbana, to remember the Beis HaMikdash in its state of destruction. The halacha, for example, is that if you build a house, you have to leave part of the front of the house without plaster when you go into the house. There are all kinds of halachas that are associated with remembering the Beis HaMikdash in its state of destruction. And then there is a mitzvah, or let's say, even though it doesn't really invoke so much sadness, at a wedding. The breaking of the glass, the putting of ashes on the head of the chassan. All this is based on remembering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of destruction. But there is a mitzvah of remembering the Beis HaMikdash, on the contrary, as it existed and as it will exist. Remembering how the Beis HaMikdash was, and looking forward to the Beis HaMikdash being reestablished in that same manner. So my uncle suggested that that's the difference between lulav and Sfiras Omer. Sfiras Omer is a mitzvah that reminds us of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash in its state of destruction. And that's why the Baal HaMor says that you can't make Shehechiyanu, Because if we're reminded, if we focus, I think focus is a better word than reminded, if we focus on the Beis HaMikdash in its state of destruction, how can we say, Shachiyanu v'kiyimanu v'hiyanu l'azman hazeh? But when we focus on the Beis HaMikdash in its state of existence, we're reminded of the glory of the Beis HaMikdash. And we look forward to the restoration of that glory. That's the mitzvah of remembering the Beis HaMikdash in its state of being while it was in existence. The Brisker Rav, when he mentions the Baal HaMor, and when I say he, the one who wrote it over, when he mentions the Baal HaMor, and he mentions the Tosfos, so he explains because Sfiras Omer is a mitzvah of Zeichel LeMikdash, and then he adds, and Lulav and Esrog is also just a mitzvah of Zeichel LeMikdash. So then the question is, so what's he answering? How is he explaining? So clearly what he wanted to say is that there are two Zeichel HaMikdash. It's not a mitzvah, the way he puts it, it's not a mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog. It's a mitzvah of Zeichel HaMikdash. But you have two mitzvahs of Zeichel HaMikdash. There's a mitzvah of Zeichel HaMikdash to remember or to focus on the Beis HaMikdash b'churbana, and there's a mitzvah of focusing on the Beis HaMikdash in its glory. So that's how the Brisker Rav phrased it, and that was one pshat that my uncle said also. So then, I'll get to that. So, that's a question. All right, that's one pshat in the Baal HaMor, and that's the pshat in Tosfos also. In other words, when do we say the Hiratzon? That's a little bit more difficult, but he says that, in other words, the Hiratzon is said when we remember that the Beis HaMikdash is in a state of destruction. And that compels us to, in a sense, beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove the avelus, the mourning that we have for the Beis HaMikdash. All right, but then there's another pshat. I think that my uncle gave, and I think this is the more lundish of pshat. The Brisker Rav was aware of that pshat, and because he says you can't say like that, so he clearly was aware of that pshat. I don't know that he was aware that my uncle suggested it, but he was clearly aware of that pshat, and he said that actually, There are two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of remembering the Beis HaMikdash, and he says the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. It's a mitzvah of remembering the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, b'churban, but it's a mitzvah. But lulav and esrog, yes, it's zeichel HaMikdash, but zeichel HaMikdash, the Chachamim instituted a mitzvah derabanan of lulav and esrog. A lulav and esrog. The kiyum hamitzvah, the zeichel hamikdash, that's in the background of the mitzvah. That's the time for the Chachamim to institute that mitzvah. But the mitzvah is a mitzvah of lulav and esrog. The rabbanon dika mitzvah of lulav and esrog. Mashenkin Sfiras HaOmer is not a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, since there is no carbon today. so the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is not a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. It's a mitzvah of remembering the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so the question is, uh, Now, my uncle added another point that I think is a very interesting point, and he suggested that according to the Baal Hamor, and perhaps according to Tosfos also, that the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer is Zeichel Churban. The Avelus of Sfira, we could suggest, the Avelus of Sfira is not based on the death of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But since these are days that are dedicated to focusing on the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, it's so because of that, we're noe gavelus because of the Churban. We're noe gavelus because of the Churban. Now, the interesting thing is, I remember years ago, when my father, when I was discussing it, so my father said that Avelus over the Talmidim, the students of Rabbi Akiva that died, that's also Zeichel Churban. The question is, why is that? There are two reasons we could suggest. The Gerest Rav Shrira Gaon, I don't know what he does with the Gemara in Yevamos, but the Gerest Rav Shrira Gaon says that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died bishmada, which would imply that they were killed. The Gemara says they died from Askara. But the Gerest Rav Shrira Gaon says they died bishmada. Okay, Churban Beis HaMikdash, what didn't just take place at one moment. Churban Beis HaMikdash is talking about the whole exile, the whole Golus is part of the Avelus of Churban Beis HaMikdash. And then we could suggest, because the place of the Beis HaMikdash was the place of the Sanhedrin, and after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there were still members of Sanhedrin, but then who took over the idea of the Mesoras HaTorah was the Chachmei HaMesorah. And in a sense, Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, the death of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, threatened the continuation and the perpetuation of the Mesorah. So a person could suggest that. Whatever. Just as a side point, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, according to Gemara, why did they die? Did they die from Askara? Since this is the yard side of my uncle, I want to mention this. Because they weren't Noe Kavod Zeh B'Zeh. I don't think that there was a Talmud Chacham that was more talked against throughout the years than my uncle. And I don't think there was a Talmud Chacham who did not retort in the manner that my uncle didn't retort. My uncle never came out against anybody that mistreated him. And the natural disposition of people is to, when you're attacked, you attack back. On the contrary, there were people who did all kinds of things against my uncle, making false reports against him to the government. And what did he do? When that person had trouble with the government, my uncle went and saved him from jail. I think that my uncle was very special in that midah. He treated every Talmud Chacham, even those that talked against him and those that acted against him, he treated them very nicely, and very often he helped them raise money and whatever it was. So I just want to mention that's a certain midah that we could learn from my uncle. Okay. Now, the question is, and that was the question that Rabbi Prero just raised, what is it about Sfiras Omer? That Sfiras Omer is identified with remembering the Beis Hamikdash b'Churbana. Why Lulav is not identified that way, we understand. It's a mitzvah smachtam lefnei Hashem. We don't want to use a mitzvah that is identified with simcha as a mitzvah for to remind us about the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Mitzvah Lulav, first of all, Lulav comes with Halal, but it's the Torah refers to it as smachtam lefnei Hashem. So we can understand why Lulav is not identified. But what is it? It's not good enough just to say we can explain why Lulav isn't identified. We have to try to understand why is it that Sfiras Omer is identified with the Churban. Now there's the Gemara in Menachos in regard to Sfiras Omer mentions a machlokis between the Rabbanan and Amemar. Rabbanan were mone yamim and shavuos. They counted days and they counted weeks like we do. When we get to the seventh day, we'll say hayom shiva yamim shehem shavu echad omer. Today is 7 days, but that's not the spirit of today. So today is 7 days. That is 1 week. 1 week in the count of the omer. But amaymer mone yamim velo mone shavuos. A Mamer counted days and didn't count weeks. Amar Zeichel Amikdashu. So the question is, a Mamer was stingy with words. Okay, I mean, you know, we have certain psalm that apply to Lulav and Esrog in the other days. You can understand, that makes a difference. But what, a Mamer couldn't say Shehem? What was it? Zeichel Amikdashu. So my uncle suggested an interesting pshat. Clearly from many Rishonim it doesn't appear that way, but the pshat itself is very interesting. He said that on the contrary, a Mamer held you shouldn't. Why? Because of this reason. In other words, since Sfiras Omer is Zeichel Churban, so we shouldn't say the Sfira in the way we did it in the Beis Hamikdash. We want to show that we do not have the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. But the Kumbas say we want to show it. Amemar mani yame velo shavue. Don't do it the regular way. Because we want to show that it doesn't apply today because of the Churban. But first of all, okay, that has to be understood, but certainly, according to the Rabbanan, in what way does Sfiras Omer manifest itself as Zeichel Churban? Now, there is the Ran in Psachim cites a very, very strange medrash. The Ran himself says that it's strange, but he says that's the Derech of Medrash. Okay, so the Ran discusses the Machlokas Rishonim, whether Sfiras Omer is the Araisa or Sfiras Omer is the Rabbanan. The Ramban Shita is that Sfiras Omer is the Araisa, and I think most Rishonim, but you know, it's hard to say for sure because who knows what all Rishonim say.
It's not as that,
obviously. Although for that matter, you can raise a question about that also. Anyway, but most Rishonim seem to say that Sfiras Omer today, that we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, is only rabbinic. It's only midrabbanim. It's only midrabbanim. And the Ran seems to lean, more than lean, in that direction. That Sfiras Omer is the Rabbanan. He brings a Rai, he cites a Medrash. The Medrash says I'm mixing Halacha and Agada because the Medrash says that the Medrash says that when the Jewish people went out of Egypt, Mitzrayim, they went to Moshe and they asked Moshe, when are we going to get the Torah? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, 49 days, 50 days, whatever. So they began counting the days. So the Medrash says, and that's why the Chachamim said that you should count Sfiras Omer. So the Ran says, you see, the Medrash says, that's why the Chachamim said. So you see, Sfiras Omer is the Rabbanim. So the Ran himself asked the question. He says, hey, we're talking after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And the Medrash is talking, before, it has nothing to do with the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. If you read the Medrash, if someone didn't read the Torah, just read the Medrash. We have a lot of people like that. Anyway, so they read only the Medrash. You would think that Sfiras Omer was always the Rabbanan, was never the Diaraisa. So the Ran says that's the Derech of Medrash. Okay. All right. It is the Derech of Medrash, but you have to explain the Medrash. All right. Now, so the question is how we can understand it. Now, there is a question. I mentioned the Baal HaMor raises the question: why do we say Shehechiyanu? Why do we say Shehechiyanu why do we say Shehechiyanu on Sfiras Omer? Why don't we say Shehechiyanu on the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer? Why don't we say Shehechiyanu? So the Baal HaMor says, because it's Zecher L'Churban, it doesn't invoke happiness, it's a Zecher B'Yalma, whatever it is. But, so, the question is, okay, all this is good, according to, this is good according to those who say Sfiras Omer is the Rabbana. But according to the Rambam, that Sfiras Omer is the Araisa, today, so it's not Zecher L'Mikdash, it's not Zecher L'Churban, it's not a Zecher B'Yalma. So the truth of the matter is, and it's possible that this is what my uncle is saying, I don't know. I saw Rav Michael Shurkin's Sefer, there's a certain vagueness there. Many years ago I suggested this teretz, and it's possible that this was my uncle suggesting. The Sfiras Omer, I mean, Shehechiyanu v'kiyumanu v'higiyanu. We reach the goal. Sfiras Omer, by its very definition, is not reaching the goal. It's not reaching the goal. So you can't say v'higiyanu because of that. But I saw that
even on the first day,
on any day,
because
even 49, the goal. That's right. You never reach the goal. The whole idea of Sfiras Omer is we did not reach the goal. That's the whole idea behind the mitzvah Sfiras Omer.
But we reached the goal of counting. We reached the goal that now we're counting.
That's not the goal.
That's here you said is a chilek. If it's one big mitzvah, or it's every single day.
That's right. Whatever it is.
If it's one big mitzvah, why can't you say Shachyom?
I could answer your question. First of all, I'm not disposed to that. As you remember from the show last year, I wasn't disposed to that alternative. But even if you say that, it's one big mitzvah, but certainly at the time that you're saying Shehechiyanu, that big mitzvah is you don't reach the goal with that one big, at that point.
Well, it depends what the goal is. The goal is to be able to count. I think that is the mitzvah. The goal is to do
No. But by definition, the mitzvah is, by definition, one that you that says you did not reach the goal.
The Kiddush for Leil Shavuos would be the...
Okay, Enoch Inami. There are those that give that parrots, and they probably are based on this Svara. Okay, but that's whether that's the same mitzvah or a different mitzvah is something I hope to get to. Okay, so, but in any case... you didn't reach your goal, but I saw that Rav Michael Shurkin, he in his notes when he brings my uncle's teretz, whether that's my uncle's teretz or not, I couldn't tell. It's something along those lines, But it seems a little bit more drushy. But he mentions Kedus Yitzchak, and the Kedus Yitzchak says the reason we don't say Shehechiyanu by Sfiras Omer is because at the time Sfiras Omer is based on the Jewish people counting. And why did they count? They felt something lacking. Something was missing. Something was missing. So, because of that, since something was missing, you don't say Shehechiyanu. In other words, it emphasizes the count. They counted, and the mitzvah is based on the fact that they counted that the Maimed Har Sinai was missing. Maimon Har Sinai was missing. Now there is a very famous Ramban. The Ramban, when they left Egypt, Maimon Har Sinai was missing. They felt they were lacking Maimon Har Sinai at that point. So Mamela, when something is lacking, you can't say Shehechiyanu. It's similar to the same what Balmer's I would, huh?
Like Balmer's Tarsa, you asked
for. Balmer talks about Chorban Beis Hamikdash,
right,
and they're not talking. But they're talking about over there. There was a certain atzvus, yes. Yeah. There was a certain atzvus. They didn't have that relationship yet.
But the same you say that the Balmer.
Similar, yeah, yeah. Well, that's why I'm bringing it up. So, the Ramban is very interesting. Ramban. The Ramban says at the beginning in his Hakdamah to Chumash Mos, as well as in Parsha Truma, he says, "Why is it what's the theme?" Ramban wants themes for all the Chumashim. The theme of Chumash Mos is Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. He says, "Why is the second half of Chumash Mos and Chumash Mos about the Mishkan?" It probably would have been better off in Vayikra. Why is it in the Chumash Shemos? So the Ramban says a very interesting thing. Ramban says that the Mishkan was the vehicle of transferring, of bringing Dushas Har Sinai to the Beis HaMikdash. Was the vehicle of bringing Dushas Har Sinai to the Beis HaMikdash. What's the idea? The idea is that the Beis HaMikdash is the perpetuation of Har Sinai. Let's say, Rashi at the beginning of Mishpatim says that the Beis Din HaGadol has to sit in the Beis HaMikdash, Eitzel HaMikdash. Why did you have to sit Eitzel HaMikdash? But the answer is Moshe Keshivim Bechad Kohi. The Beis Din HaGadol is in place of Moshe. And Beis HaMikdash is in place of Har Sinai. And the Rambam says that a Jew has to see the Psak of Beis Din HaGadol, that excludes anybody around today, as it was something that was given to Moshe at Har Sinai. The Beis HaMikdash represents the perpetuation of Maimed Har Sinai. The lack of Maimon Har Sinai is identified with the feeling of the lack of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what I think. In other words, why did the Chachamim, this is the way we could explain that Medrash that the Ran brings down. Why did the Chachamim institute Sfiras Omer as Zeichel Chorban? Because Sfiras Omer represented the fact that the Jewish people felt they were lacking Maimon Har Sinai. And the Beis HaMikdash is the perpetuation of Maimon Har Sinai. So Memela, Sfiras Omer was used, Zeich L'Chorban. That's how we could explain the Medrash that the Ran brings down. I want to add something to it. It's getting late, and I'll try to. There's a very strange shita of the Rav Yah. It's only strange because we don't do it. But there's a shita of the Rav Yah, and it seems that Tosfos had that shita in some of the places also. we say Asher Kesham Nitzasa B'Tzivana Al Sfira Salma. We make a bracha on Sfira, and then we count Sfira. And it seems that the Mechaber might have also had this shita in a different sort of language, but the Rav Yosh shita is there is no bracha on Sfira. Sfira is part of a bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa b'tzivanu al Sfira sayomer shehayom chamisha yamim b'omer. That's why Tosis talks about if somebody's not mevarech at night. What do you mean not mevarech? What we emphasize, he didn't make a bracha. Say he didn't count Sfira. But the answer is, and my uncle points that out, and one, I don't know if it's in the sefer here, but I saw it, that Tosfos held like the Rabbi Yo. So the Midrabbanan sphere is set as a bracha. But the question is why? Why should it be that way? I think there are two possibilities why it is. One is it's based on the Sefer Agudah. The Sefer Agudah raises the question that all Rishonim say, Shiva Shavuos and Hamishim Yom. How do we, not a mathematician, but 7 times 7 is 49. And so Tosfos and Rashi, they all ask the Kasha, Rashi and Chumash, they all ask the Kasha. Sefer Agudah gives a very interesting answer. And my uncle is medayik, without saying that he asked the kasha, is medayik something along those lines in the Rambam. Because the Rambam says the 50th day of Sfiras Omer is Shavuos. He doesn't say the day after you finish Sfiras Omer. Okay, but whether the Rambam says it or not, separate issue. Okay, so the Sefer Agudah says that when you say Chag HaShavuos says, Man Matan Torah Seinu, that's the 50th day. That's the 50th day. That's the Shita of the Sefer Agudah. In other words, there is a relationship, and perhaps it's even part of the mitzvah, according to the Agudah, between the mitzvah of Kiddush and the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. Now, Kiddush, Midyaraisa, you don't have to make a bracha. Rabbi Kiveger has a suffix. Rav Simcha Zalig, the Dayan of Brisk, you know, when the Jews were going to Japan, so there's machlokis which day. So he suggested on one of the days you should say Good Shabbos, because Rabbi Kiveger has a suffix. Perhaps if you say Good Shabbos midyaraisa, you mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush. My father, because of that, Erev Shabbos, would never say Good Shabbos. He would always say a good Erev Shabbos, because he was scared that it would be a Kabbalah Shabbos. So he would say a good Erev Shabbos. Okay, but Midyaraisa.
Kabbalah Shabbos and Kiddush, though.
It depends.
Would he not say Good Shabbos until after he said Kiddush? That's the question.
No, but so then that wouldn't be a problem, because then he at least have the mitzvah, the rabbanon of Kiddush. Now a person can ask a question, Kiddush requires Chiyuv Yetzias Mitzrayim, and all that. Well, those questions are asked not just against Rabbi Kiveger, because for most poskim it seems that Shemoneh Esrei is Kiddush and Chiyuv Yetzias Mitzrayim is not mentioned. That's a separate issue. But in any case, so Schiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, so but Midrabbanan, they made Kiddush in the Matbeya, in the form of a bracha. So we could suggest in the Agudah, the sheet of the, so we're using the Agudah, we could suggest in the sheet of the Rav Yoh, that since there is a relationship between Sfiras Omer and Kiddush Shavuos, so proclaiming this is Chag HaShavuos, so Memela should be in the form of bracha. But I was thinking of something else. I was thinking, this might be a little drush, I was thinking that, and I want to use this to explain Tosfos, If we say there is a difference between the bracha on Sfiras Omer or if the Sfiras Omer is part of the bracha. If the bracha is on Sfiras Omer, so you have the bracha and you have the counting of Sfira. But a person could suggest that if the Sfiras Omer is part of the bracha, is part of the bracha, in actuality, the nature of the bracha is talking about the Sfira. Baruch atah Hashem, Akenu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushan Nesel Tzivanu Al Sfiras Omer, Shehayom, or Hayom, Shnei Yomim. They don't even say Bomer. Shehayom, Shnei Yomim. So we're acknowledging that God gave us. So we're taught, we're not so, the counting of Sfira is accomplished not so much as a count, but in talking about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah of Sfira. And today, okay, I counted Sfira already. Today is 3 days in the count of Sfira. In other words, a person could suggest, if you add Yehi Ratzon Fanecha, Hashem HaKadoshim Banabes HaMidosh B'Meher V'Yameinu, and we couple all of that together, what we're saying is, HaKadosh Baruch, you gave us a mitzvah Sfira. We don't have it anymore. And we're looking forward to getting it back. We're not happy. We're sad. And I think that that perhaps is what Tosfos says. Tosfos says, "Lefisha ein ella haskara ato lebinyan beis hamikdash." It's the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer midrabbanan is not so much a mitzvah of counting, but when we say tonight is 3 nights in the Omer, we're saying I missed Sfiras Omer for 3 nights. That's remembering. That's remembering the korban.
So it's not really a
berachas mitzvah. That's right. According to Rav Yehuda, it's certainly not a berachas mitzvah. You don't need this for that. It's not a berachas mitzvah. Certainly according to Rav Yehuda, it's not a berachas mitzvah. So, as a matter of fact, according to the Mishnah Berurah's pshat, that there are 49 that this one mitzvah that you count 49 times. So the question is, why do you make a bracha 49 times on one mitzvah? So, if you say the Rav Yoh, you can explain it. In other words, if it'll be one mitzvah, so you need one bracha. But but here it's not a birchas mitzvah. The sphere is said as part of a bracha. So, if you accept the pshat of the Mishnah Berurah, so which is the sheet of the Magen Avraham. So, if you accept the pshat, you could explain with the Rav Yehuda why each of the days you need a bracha. Why each of the days you need a bracha. I just want to say a few words about... about my uncle. Today is the 20th Yahrzeit. And we talked about two types of Zeicha Churban. One is Zeicha LeMikdash. We have Zeicha LeChurban and we have Zeicha LeBinyana. And listen, a little bit before our time, before my time, we had a big Churban. The Jewish population centers, the Torah population centers. And it's important to realize, you know, sometimes there's a tendency in yeshivas when we think about the Jewish communities to focus just on the yeshivas. 6 million Jews were killed. In those days, a very, very small percentage of them were learning in yeshiva. And matter of fact, someone told me that the 6 millionth child born since World War II in Israel was just recently. So just to give you a hasaga of what went on. So, but and we had a generation of that they were Zecher Lebinyana. And my uncle, I think, was outstanding in that group. I mean, my uncle, when he was 13 years old, and Reb Chaim saw his notebook, Reb Chaim ran around showing his chedushim to Reb Simcha Zelig, to Reb Rafal Shapiro, to whoever it was, you know, and so he, in a sense, all the Mekomos Torah were destroyed. But there were individuals, and I think my uncle was outstanding among them, that reminded people of the glory of Torah that existed in Europe. When you attended my uncle's shir, besides the special chedushim that he said, you heard all the chedushim of Reb Chaim, of my grandfather, and more than that, when he would talk about Reb Chaim's davening Yom Kippur, when he would talk about how Reb Chaim davened on Yom Kippur, you sensed. He said that when Reb Chaim davened, you had the impression that Reb Chaim was standing in the Beis HaMikdash watching the Avodah taking place, when the Avodah was taking place. Today, we read that my uncle said that. We don't have a connection with any of that. I remember when my uncle was very sick and he had the Parkinson's, and my father went to visit him. I asked my father, what did my uncle mention to him? It was very difficult for my uncle to communicate the talk, and it wasn't clear. He said to me that my uncle said to him, he wants to tell him over a kasha that Reb Chaim Moser, my uncle considered a very terrific kasha, a kasha that Reb Chaim Moser, my uncle was very close with Reb Chaim Moser. Before he got married, my aunt was a cousin of Reb Chaim Moser, but besides that, they were very close beforehand. So Reb Chaim Moser, he wanted to tell my father over Akasha that Reb Chaim Moser mentioned to him that he considered it an unusually good kasha. But my father said he couldn't understand what my uncle was saying because of the Parkinson's. It was very difficult to understand. And I was thinking at that time, and my uncle was known probably as the biggest Baal Mechadish of his time. But besides his own chedushim, he was a reservoir, a connection to the former generations, to Reb Chaim, and to the Gdolei Yisrael who he talked in learning with. It was Zecher LeBinyana. It was Zecher LeBinyana. And now, unfortunately, for the last 20 years, to a large degree, it's Zecher LeChorbanah. Because we lost that connection, that person that was able to mechadesh in the style of Reb Chaim. What is interesting, there's still Zecher LeBinyana now more than ever before. More than ever before, my uncle's Torah is being published. It's interesting, and I think to some degree, it's a problem with our generation. More Torah is being published. More Torah is being said over. The biggest korban is that people are not able to think like they once thought in terms of learning. And I want to mention one other thing. I mentioned that according to Tosfos, when Tosfos says, "L'shvi she'enu ala haskara atal l'binyan beis hamikdash," so we're lamenting when we count Sfira, we're in a sense lamenting the fact that we don't have the mitzvah, but we want the mitzvah again. Lamenting. So the first day, we say, that today is the first day. But I'm not able to fulfill that mitzvah today. I look forward to eventually fulfilling that mitzvah. There are people, great people, that we miss them after they die. But there are people day to day. There are new issues that come up. And each day there is a new reason to lament that they're not here. In other words, yes, my uncle, first of all, knew all that Torah, with Chaim and all that, but then he had his own chedushim, which was unique. And each day there was new svaras. One Talmud in the Shia told me he never heard a dochet svara from him. Every day, he could say over a chiddush, and the next year, the famous story, he was saying over, he said over a chiddush, and he asked a question, a Talmud raised a hand and suggested an answer. And my uncle in the old days was very shocked, but later on he calmed down as he started screaming at the boy, how do you suggest such nonsense, or whatever. And the boy says, but that's what the Rav said last year. So my uncle thought a second. He says, yes, but that's no excuse to say something that doesn't make sense. The idea was you had to learn how to think, not just to repeat. His whole essence was thinking in Torah, not just repeating Torah. My cousin, Reb Chaim, who I consider to be one of the world's greatest geniuses, I mean, he told me, he said that we're learning something. My uncle raised a question, and he suggested, let's look at the notebook of this year and the previous years. He said, my uncle looked at him the way somebody looks at a dirty cockroach. Because you have to think it, not just repeat it. You have to understand. So every day there was new chedushim. He wasn't just, you know, many Rosh Hashivas had their cycle of chedushim, and they go over and over and over and over. My uncle, there was no cycle of chedushim. He was constantly thinking. Every day was something new. So there's a lamentation every day for the Torah we miss today. But more than that, I say more than that because of the mechshalim that are happening. We were able to get guidance from him. My uncle was not the type that told people how to act at every moment of the way. He found that was counterproductive. And sometimes he would manipulate certain things privately without big statements and public statements because he thought he could accomplish that way. And there were times when he came out very, very strong on certain issues, whether it was the ecumenical meetings with the Christians or whatever it was. Who was the one who stopped it? The one who stopped it was my uncle. And the best raya for it is that unfortunately now they're trying to do it again. And the issues that are coming up. I didn't always agree. My father didn't always agree with everything that my uncle said. And my uncle himself recognized that people can disagree. But he was a person who was able to give guidance on the issues coming up. And without him being there, and he was very careful, that's another thing about him. He was very careful in what he said. He was limited, what he said about different issues. And unfortunately today, people say all kinds of things without thinking what they're saying. So my uncle my uncle, that's part of Hayom Shnei Yom Bomer, Hayom Shlosha Yom Bomer, Hayom Arba Yom Bomer, because we're, in a sense, we're mourning, we're lamenting each day that we don't have the mitzvah of Sfira. So we're lamenting not only the Torah that was lost, but we're lamenting what we're not able to get. This is the Hiratzon. In the Hiratzon, that to whatever degree, that loss is somehow be dealt with, that we should be going in the direction that he set for us.